But now, get ready, because this gentleman, we haven't known him very long, but he talked here once before, and everybody thought it was wonderful. And Reese is already shaking his head, so he already knows who it's going to be. It's Mimi and Mickey's husband, Billy. Here he comes. Here comes Billy.
All right.
Hello, church family. Wow, that was weak. Hello, church family. Thank you very much. I'm glad you're all in a silly mood today, because this docudrama was sponsored by a comb and my dog, Pasha. So sometimes spiritual messages come to you in very weird ways. In my neighborhood, my dog likes to watch television, and we refer to that as we open up the front door and she gets out to the gate and she just lays there with her legs primly crossed. And every time a truck goes by with a delivery or the mailman or the gardeners, and we're just constantly just crazy. And we have to pasha, 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 come on, come back in. And so the way my mind thinks is kind of weird. And I started thinking about stuff. I go, you know, what if that FedEx guy over there was just delivering a comb, like a big box in a comb? It got me thinking about everything that we purchase in our life, just about other than land, something like that, or electronically, comes to our house via a truck. You ever think of that? No. You never thought about that. Come on, only I did. It's just too weird, right? And I started thinking, I go, isn't it amazing that we don't think about the things that run in the background of our lives until something goes wrong? But everything that you have in your house, whether you purchased it or part of it or you assembled it, somebody had to put that on a truck and bring it to your house. And it got me thinking about my transportation days in which I worked for the FAA. And it got me thinking about the story of FedEx. And I don't know if you guys know about FedEx, but when they first started, they had a sorting center that was in Memphis, Tennessee. And it didn't matter where you were in the world, whether you were in Alaska or any place in the United States, every single package, 24 hours a day, would get put on a truck, would get flown into Memphis to the sorting center, or would be driven if it was more locally. And within 24 hours, they would take every package in the United States into this giant place. All the logistical nightmare of what was happening there. They'd sort all these packages, get them all out to other trucks and flights, and boom, everybody would take off. Think about that nightmare. Think about how difficult it was to sort. It was a miracle of organization, scheduling, flow, and delivery. And when our packages come, we're happy. And when they don't come, we get really kind of pissy about it, to be honest with you, because we want what we want. So what has this got to do with spiritualism? So I would ask you, what is the greatest transportation system in your life right now, every day, 24/7, in which is a logistical miracle of God? Any guesses?
Your
body. Body's one of them. Come on. Audience participation time, please. Don't leave me alone. Okay, so nobody has thoughts, right? For me, the greatest transportation system in our life is our thoughts. Ooh. Why? Because nothing comes into, through, or stays in your life without thought or the attention to thought. So the last time I was here, I spoke on love and the intimacy of love, because that's one of the tenets of our church. Well, the second thing we always say is, watch your thoughts. So, thoughts are the logistical miracle for the organization of your life. Everything you think you are, you are. Everything you think you can create or do, you do. You think, you put emotion to the thought, You create and you manifest your life by your very thoughts. We say, watch your words. But I say to you, you have to do more than watch your thoughts. Otherwise, you will mostly become a spectator in your own life. And I think that's a great strength of spirituality. That if you stop and listen to what's happening in your head, and you give it real thought instead of just a passing thought or a thought that you hide for tomorrow, you suddenly start to gain control of your life. I have a friend who recently started putting that watch your thought sticker on every aspect of her life, her car, her mirror. We've had a lot of conversations about this, right? And how important it is that you have to wrestle. It's a thinking process, but it's a training process. It's something that you just can't let go because you are the most important person in your life. Whether you believe it or not, and that's not said narcissistically, egotistically, or to put somebody else down. If you don't take care of yourself and what filters through your mind, nobody will do it for you. Absolutely nobody. In fact, quite the contrary. Most of the time you will be torn down or you will be confused and you will be unable to put the oxygen mask on the next person because you have gotten dizzy and have fallen over. So I'm going to compare ourselves to the FedEx hub, the sorting center. And I want each one of you in your own mind, if you can hang in there with me for a few minutes, not to think of the packages, but think of yourself as the sorting center. And why? Because when I trained as an air traffic controller, we trained for every day to provide the most safe, efficient flow of air traffic in which nobody got hurt. But let me tell you something. When the sky would light up with all these airplanes coming in, and it was just one after another, after another, after, there was no time for thought at that point. There was only the time to flex your muscle memory of how you had trained for that moment. So if you are the FedEx center and all the packages are your thoughts, tell me the bombardment of thoughts that are coming your way every single day and from every single angle. If you choose to watch it, what happens to the packages or the trucks or the airplanes? Well, you're going to... Whoa, there goes another one, and there goes another one, and there goes another one. Or some of them will run you over and squash your life. Some of them you'll chase, and you will never catch. And when you're in the sorting center, once you start getting this deluge and this barrage of thoughts, many of them you will lose. Or you put them on the wrong trucks. You have the wrong delivery systems. So... how do we manage the flow so that we don't become watchers? Well, the Bible tells us to train. Every single day, train your thoughts. What are you training them to? Do you come to church and do you listen to 1,000 messages in a year? Or do you turn on the radio and, oh, that was nice? And one of the things that I've really worked on in the past year or more is working on really paying attention to my thoughts. And at first it was very, very strenuous, I have to say. You know, every time a thought would pop in or something, I would have to like say, ooh, wait a minute, what does that mean? Or instead of what does it mean, let it go. Well, how do I measure that thought? Excuse me. Can anybody here relate to this? Do you guys get bombarded with thoughts? Are your thoughts crippling you? Are your thoughts taking you places that you don't want to be? So... I find that God establishes the ground rules for our thoughts. So you have to have a mission statement just like FedEx or just like the FAA. And this is what you live by no matter what. These are your ethics, your moral code of action, and how everything runs in and out of your life. They're thoughts, but these are God's thoughts. And remember, in the FedEx center of the life or the hub that we are, God made you. God made the hub. The hub is perfect. The hub can handle the traffic. The hub is intact. The only thing that changes the hub is the desperation of handling the packages, coming in, losing them, getting them out. But deep inside, you are totally 100% equipped to handle every single package if you choose to train and pay attention. So rule number one on the mission statement, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Who's heard that before? We all have. Oh, pretty little Asian girl in the second row, I have a message for you. Anyway, so love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If you can train every thought to think, am I loving God by the actions, the emotion, and the feeling that I put behind this thought? How does this relate to what God predominantly wants me to do, which is to love him? The second rule, I'm sure you all know it. Love others as you love yourself. Which has a tricky little implication in there. You must love yourself. As I said earlier, you are the most important person in your life. Your thoughts mean something. They are the transportation system of your life. You cannot go anywhere in life, do anything, be anybody, help anybody at all without first having a thought. You can't even be here without having a thought. Your thoughts guide you throughout not only this lifetime, past lifetimes, lifetimes to come. Hugely critical what you do with your thoughts. And if you don't think that loving yourself is an order or a mandate, God puts it up there, right, number two. Love him first, create that relationship. Love others, but only as you love yourself. God wants you to have loving thoughts about yourself. That is your mission statement before we start receiving any parcels. Okay, let the planes and the trucks start rolling. Are you ready? Incoming. I want you to set up two filters or two gates in which all the traffic must flow through. So you have to take all this traffic, put it in an orderly flow, which is the thoughts, and it must be attainable through your ground or your mission statement, and then you have to run the traffic in and out of these gates. The first one, be still and know that I am God. Quiet your mind and your life. Don't look or place emotion into the incoming flights or packages. When you get bombarded, when your boss is on your butt, when you're arguing with your wife, we don't argue, when you're arguing with your dog, when anything comes up into your life, the first order is to put flow into it and run it through the gate. Be quiet. Be still and know that I am God. That's a mandate, and it kind of works. The first order is to let God be the voice in your head. The second thing that says, the Bible says, it says many things, and I could talk on thoughts for a long time. 20 minutes does not give it enough time. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be refreshed, invigorated, vibrant, and alert. The people who wrote these words were inspired by Spirit, similar to the point where we're inspired by Spirit. And as Millie often says, it's amazing that words that were written 2,000 years ago still have application to today. The transformation that you want to make can only come when you start to watch your thoughts, but more than watch your thoughts, when you start to train your thoughts, run with a mission statement, and run the thoughts through your filter. Because ever since we were born, we've always had the FedEx plant built. But we've always been receiving packages from the outside, first from our parents, our friends, our school teachers. So we have this personality, this ego of how we behave, who we think we are, and we start to believe it. But God says, be still, I know I am God, and renew your mind, which means you got to recycle this gray matter up here that controls your heart, because you've received a lot of bad information and you're getting overrun. So how do we be quiet and how do we renew? And it's really two simple words, meditation and contemplation. Meditation means quieting your mind. It doesn't mean you're zoning out. It doesn't mean you're going into la-la land. What it does, it means you remove other thoughts and emotions, other thoughts, other packages, other things, and you start going to the nerve center of where you're built. And when you become quiet, suddenly there is room and stillness in your heart to hear the true message. Has anybody ever been in the wilderness or taken a hike or gone someplace where you can't hear anything at all? And how beautifully peaceful and quiet that is. You can even hear yourself breathing. And when you're talking to the person next to you or even far away, it's like you don't even have to speak loud. Your voice can just carry across a valley. And I have a picture that that's how God is in our life. He wants us to be that quiet. And that's still, that suddenly, that voice becomes very, very apparent in our life. And once you start to receive that voice, let's see, the renewing of your mind comes through contemplation of what you attract during these moments. So when you're really, really quiet, notice the room's getting quieter right now. And as these thoughts start to come into your mind, these thoughts, or a thought, starts to expand. And suddenly you start to have feelings or emotions around that thought. If you contemplate God's love, the feeling of love will emerge. New feelings will be discovered. Whatever the feeling is, if you stay with it long enough, a change will begin to occur. You will create and draw deeper thoughts, and a presence of being will start to unfold in your life. You will be renewed as you begin to know your soul, the God image of your very self. Isn't that a cool way to quiet our hearts and our minds? Because so many people think, oh, I can't quiet my mind. But I'm telling you, when I was doing this, God gave me a little game to play if you have a hard time doing this. And think in your mind, and you can do it if you want to do it, doesn't matter. When you take a deep breath in, and then you let it go, and then you find your heartbeat in your body. So when you think about it, your heartbeat may be in your temples. It could be in your carotid artery. It could be in your fingertips, your wrists, or you may take time to find it. And once you find it, there it is, walk up to your heart and hug it. And as you hug your heart, say, I am love. Your heart sometimes doesn't even know you, and it will become a little afraid, and it'll slip right out of your grasp. And like a timid little creature, you will find another hiding spot. Take another deep breath. Let it out. Feel where your heartbeat is. Go give that heartbeat a hug again. It will let you hold it a little bit longer. And it will slip out again. You will find that your heartbeat will start coming down into your body. And it will enter a pool that is very quiet as long as you continue to pursue it. And finally, when you get in that pool and you feel it, and you hug your heart that last time, say, I am. And your heart won't squeeze out because now you're starting to find your God self. And in that stillness, and in that quiet, and in that meditation, now you know that you are still and knowing that He is God, and you are starting to renew your mind. And when He speaks to you this way, have confidence that God is so much looking to support us, and so much seeking to always be around us and defend us. And put thoughts in your mind and rules and things that God wants you to know. The Bible says in Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Be still and know that I am God. Renew your mind. Know that my eyes are constantly searching to see who I can support. In Amos, behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind declares to man what his thoughts are. Isn't that the coolest thing when you're quiet? We have a God that's sitting in the serenity of the pool of our heart who wants us to be renewed. He's looking for us. And even though he makes the mountains, he's saying to you and to me, I want to declare my thoughts to you. In Psalms, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. Oh, wow. I'm having a moment. And lastly, Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and find me when you search for me with all your hearts. So in closing, what I'd like to say is, when we say watch our thoughts, I say it is the greatest transportation system of your life. Even right now, within 20 minutes, I feel like we've been transported a little bit in some direction. We can all do this. You are the most important person in your life. The person that God created who you are. He wants you to be quiet, and he wants you to handle all these thought packages that come through to you, through you, and out of you. I hope that the peace of God, the love of God, the thoughts of God greatly empower your life, and that you sit in that pool with your heart and know, I am. And thank you for your time.
Pretty neat, huh? Gives us all room for thought, huh? Are you thinking? Yeah, Bill, you did a good job there, honey. Pretty darn good job.